The Institute of Marriage and Family Canada actually asked the question, why? Not, here's the numbers, what are we going to do about it? Why? Why are families shrinking? Senior researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, Peter John Mitchell, joins the show. How are you?
Doing well, thanks, Gary.
Good to get you back on the show.
Yeah, it's good to be on.
So why? Why are families shrinking? Is it as simple as, say, I heard a friend say, we only had two kids, the car only has four doors?
Well, that may be part of it, but there's a lot of reasons why family size is shrinking, and it's gone from about three people in a dwelling in a household in the 1970s down to three, and that might not sound big, but those are actually big numbers when you work out the percentages. And one of the chief reasons is just plain economics. In the last 100 years or so, having kids was an economic advantage. It was labor on the farm, that sort of thing. And certainly in the post-industrial economy, it's become quite an expense, as people well know. And in fact, a few years ago, Manitoba Agriculture ran some numbers, and they estimated that it cost $167,000 to raise a child from 0 to 18 years old, and that's not counting education. So it's pretty expensive. But in addition to that, to get a decent job, to be financially secure, certainly we're in an economy that requires education. And so more people are staying in school longer. They're delaying partnering and getting married, and therefore delaying childbirth. So that time of the window of opportunity for fertility is shrinking because people are getting started later. And certainly that's having an effect on how many children people have. So those are probably chief among the concerns. And I think there's some other concerns as well, or other factors, particularly about the way that we form families. Increase of divorce interrupts, obviously, fertility and that period when people would be pairing, obviously, and having kids. So there's a number of factors that are certainly complicating it.
Is the actual fertility, is that an issue, the actual fertility itself? Are we less fertile?
Yeah, and that's the number that gets kicked around, is the total fertility rate, and it's a kind of a complicated calculation. But basically, what that number produces is a number of women a number of children that a woman would have over her fertile years. So, to replace the population, we need to have 2.1 children per woman, and currently Canada is around the 1.6 mark. So that number has it's come up in the last couple of years, but it's certainly well below replacement, and that's going to have us, obviously, as you talked about in the introduction, some economic consequences. And so we have a population that's also aging, and so we have more people moving towards the retirement age. There's going to be they're going to require more healthcare dollars. They're going to be tapping into Social Security and those sorts of things, and then there's less people coming behind to essentially fund those programs. It's almost if you and I took a pay cut and then got a notice that our utilities were going up. It's sort of the economics is increasing, the prices are increasing, but we don't have the funds available to support that. So that's going to cause some strife down the road for us.
Well, there's a lot at play there. I just got an email from someone who suggested that our generation is probably a little more selfish than our parents' generation, that by having more kids, we have less for ourselves.
Certainly that affects our wealth, and particularly in this culture, perhaps in years past, people might have had kids for the purpose of who's going to take care of me in my old age, that kind of reasoning. But certainly among my generation, you don't hear people talking about that anymore. And just because it is expensive, and in some cases, some demographers have speculated that perhaps people realize, hey, if I have less kids, more money, I can finance my own future. I don't need kids to look after me. I'm not sure that that's going to necessarily be the case in the future. I think that that the supports that we lean on to, particularly in our senior years, are not going to be as robust as they currently are.
Yeah, well, we talk about the name of your organization, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, so we haven't even talked about marriage yet. Do we value marriage? Do we still value marriage as we used to in this country?
I think marriage gets a bad rap, and it shouldn't. I think we should be talking more positively about marriage. And, of course, as the Institute of Marriage and Family, I'm always interested in seeing thinking what role marriage may play in this, and it may play two aspects. First, obviously, with marriage is an institution that begets children. So certainly, with people getting married, it's sort of ideal for raising children and having children. So it's possible that if we had a more positive outlook on marriage and a marriage culture, that would help fertility. I don't think it's going to put it over the top. I don't think it's going to bring it back to replacement. It's very difficult to find solutions. I don't think it's going to be one thing, but I think it would certainly help. The other thing is that marriage certainly supports and benefits kids. And so I think this next generation coming up is going to, they're going to feel the pinch. They're going to feel they need to be the ones that are productive, filling these jobs. And so we want to have the healthiest culture as possible. And I think marriage is one of those things that contributes to a healthy culture.
See, it's an interesting perspective. Yesterday we talked on the show about a report that came out about blowing up the divorce court because it's so adversarial and divorce court system just doesn't work and divorce rates and divorce this. So we talk about divorce openly, but we don't spend a lot of time talking about marriage openly. You know, has there ever been a national dialogue on marriage like there has been on divorce?
I don't think we've had that national dialogue at all. No, I certainly don't think we've had. Maybe more so in other countries, in the UK, and a little bit, I guess, in the US as well. There's been a little more talk about the strengths that marriage provides society, but I don't think we really have had that conversation. I know a couple of years ago, the Institute was talking about perhaps having a royal commission on marriage and family and putting this in the public square and talking about the benefits of marriage.
Well, I'm in favor. Like my wife and I are right now planning our 25th, so obviously I'm in favor.
Oh, excellent. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm not there yet. I don't want to take anything for granted. Got to work at it every day. But, I guess that's, from a media perspective, I guess we have to take some of the blame on that one because it's a little bit easier to be negative and talk about divorce than it is to talk about successful marriages.
Well, sure. Yeah, bad news is it makes headlines for sure, but there's certainly a lot of strengths that families bring to society and to individuals, and that's something that I think we've tried to look at here at the Institute as well, looking specifically at family strengths and the things that the benefits that does provide.
Wow. Peter, John Mitchell, thanks. We appreciate your time again today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Gary.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Peter John is the senior researcher at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.